waiting for...
How far is the chief?
It's supposed to be here any second, so it's gonna be Police Chief Barnes, and then Fire Chief Carbon, and then Massa Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, and then County Executive Melissa Agard. And then we'll take questions after that. All right, see you in a minute.
This is the part where, again, I would normally start by saying good afternoon and thanking you for being here, but under these circumstances, I'll just give you a minute to start your live streams or do whatever you need to do. And while you're doing that, my name is Chief Shaun Barnes, S-H-O-N-B-A-R-N-E-S. I'm currently the Chief of Police for the Madison Police Department. I'll be providing a brief update of the school shooting that we had today in Madison. There is some information that we're not going to release because it's still an ever-evolving situation. You'll hear from some of our representatives from our city and from our county. And behind me are a lot of people who came together today to make sure that the day ended well and that everyone else was safe. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and start my remarks. Today truly is a sad day for Madison and for our country. It is a day that I believe will live in our collective minds for a very, very long time. Here are the details. Today at 10:57 a.m., our team was called to the Abundant Life Christian School in reference to an active shooter. We know that three people are dead, including the suspect shooter. We know that the suspect shooter was a teenage student who attended the school. At this time, we are not releasing the age or gender of the student or any other identifying remarks about the student. Two other people have died. That died were a teacher and a teenage student. Six other people were injured. Two students are now in critical condition in the hospital, and these injuries are considered life-threatening injuries. Four students are also at other area hospitals with non-life-threatening injuries. But these are just the physical injuries that we know about. We know that this was the middle of the day of a school day, and so there will be other injuries that we'll have to face for a very, very long time. And we're going to do everything we can as a community to heal those injuries as well. Many of you have asked me about the why of this. Why did this happen? What do we know? What was the motivation? I do not know. But I will tell you this. Our detectives are working hard in the investigative process to find out as many answers as we can so that we can further prevent these things from happening, not only in this community, but in other communities around our country. I think we can all agree that enough is enough, and we have to come together to do everything we can to support our students, to prevent press conferences like these from happening again and again and again. The school building itself is clear. We have cleared the school. There's no other threats or danger to the community. We're in the process now of what we call reunification. And what that simply means is making sure that every student that was in the school is present and accounted for and returned to their loved ones. This usually takes a while, but we have practice, unfortunately, and practice and practice. And that's why we're able to reunify students with their parents within hours of a school shooting. The reunification is taking place at the Dean Clinic on Stoughton Road, and I certainly thank them for their help. Again, we need our public to find an alternate route. If that is your normal way home as we get closer to the end of the day, please be patient or find another route home. We are currently processing the scene. We are interviewing those who may have been witnesses, and we are obtaining search warrants to get additional information. And lastly, I want to just say thank you to everyone who's standing behind me, the organizations and agencies that they represent, the men and women of the Madison Police Department and Dane County Sheriff's Office who selflessly ran into a building not knowing what they were going to encounter. Many of you know this about me, but I started my professional career, if you will, as a public school teacher back in 1997. And I taught public school for 4 years. It was one of the greatest joys of my life before becoming a police officer. And I can tell you what a special place our schools are. With that being said, we owe it to our community to do everything possible to ensure that it's not only a special place, but a safe place as well. And we're going to continue to do that. So we ask for your patience as information is coming in. We will do the best that we can to bring you accurate and timely information, but we want to make sure that our public knows that we're working extremely hard on this particular incident. There are a lot of people involved, and certainly we're going to come together as a community. I'd like to bring up at this time Police Fire Chief Chris Carver.
Thank you, Chief Barnes. Before I start, the only thing I can say is this is not a place that any fire chief or any one of us would ever want to be. And I can't believe I'm standing here today talking about this incident. The fire department is a part of this community, much like all the folks standing up here with me today. Our hearts are with and our arms are around everybody impacted today and everybody within our community. With that, I won't repeat the details shared by Chief Barnes, but I will share with you the fire department activity for today. Much like Chief Barnes mentioned, at 10:57, we were also dispatched with Engine 5 and Medic 5 to the same location. Throughout the course of the incident, we responded with 5 engine companies, 4 ladder companies, 15 ambulances. I would like to take a moment and share our gratitude for our county partners throughout a multitude of EMS and fire agencies that joined us in the response today. We also had 11 off-duty chief officers that came in on this response. So it was a tremendous response from the fire department. We transported 4 patients to St. Mary's. We transported 3 patients to the University of Wisconsin hospitals. On the arrival of our crews, I can say my gratitude to our membership for what they did and their selfless actions today. It's hard for me to place into words what they ran into as well. They did that immediately, they did that selflessly, and within a course of 15 minutes from the first transport to the last transport, all the patients were on their way to the hospital. So to our membership within the Madison Fire Department and within all the emergency services, my gratitude, my recognition of the work that goes into this, the training that went into this, that again, we had hoped we would never have to put into practice. One more time on behalf of the Madison Fire Department, our hearts are with you, our arms are around you, and we will be with you throughout the duration of this. So at this point, I'll step aside, turn it over to the mayor.
Thank you, Chiefs, both of you. This is an incredibly sad day for our community. As you've heard, there is no danger to the community at this time, but our entire community has been impacted by this tragic incident. On behalf of the Common Council and the City of Madison staff, I want to offer our heartfelt condolences to the victims and families and to the whole Abundant Life community. Our focus now is on supporting them and supporting the victims and their families. And we will continue to do that through the coming days and weeks. I also want to thank our first responders, the police, fire, the medical staff, for their quick action and their life-saving efforts. As you've heard already, this is a whole of government response. It is not just police and fire. It is not just City of Madison. We have folks from all around the county. We have folks from multiple agencies engaged in both the initial immediate response and the ongoing support, and will be engaged for days and weeks to come. I also want to thank the White House and the governor and others in the federal government and state government for reaching out to offer their support and help. We will be drawing on resources as needed going forward. But the most important thing right now is to make sure that we are centering the victims and their families and that we are doing whatever we can to support them and to help them heal and to lift our entire community up through this difficult incident. I am on record that I think we need to do better in our country and our community to prevent gun violence. And I hoped that this day would never come in Madison. It is not something that any mayor, any fire chief, any police chief, any person in public office ever wants to have to deal with. And so I will ask our entire community and our entire country to do whatever we can to make sure that no public official ever has to stand in this position again. And now I'll invite the county executive to the podium.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, our community is reeling from the heartbreaking and senseless tragedies at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. As a mom who received a text from her son at a high school here in the city of Madison wondering if he was safe, I can tell you, this hits you in the gut. Our community is better than this. Our country is better than this. Cannot continue. My heart goes out to the victims and their families and the students and the educators, and the list goes on and on. Every one of us is affected by this unimaginable and unacceptable violence that has hit our community today. Dane County stands united in grief with the Abundant Life Christian School community. The Sheriff's Department, the Department of Emergency Management, Department of Human Services have all been on the front lines. My phone has been ringing from people across our state and our nation asking what it is that they can do to help our community. And right now, it is our time to be committed to supporting this school, these students, and these families, and our first responders who went into that building during this devastating time. We must work closely with our law enforcement officers and first responders, mental health professionals, community leaders, and policymakers to ensure that we are taking care of one another. No community should ever have to endure such a tragedy. And my administration is going to do everything that it can to provide assistance to those who have experienced this devastating loss and also do everything that we can to prevent such tragedy from occurring. To all of those who are grieving in our community, please know that you're not alone. Dane County stands with you. We're here to support you in any way possible. Please reach out and ask for help. The governor's office, as well as the mayor's office, and I will continue to update the public as we learn more. But please understand, there are many things that we cannot share with you right now. This is an active investigation. This is an active case. The SSM Health Clinic near the intersection of Buckeye Road and Stoughton Road is the reunification center. I know that that has been out, but we need to make sure that folks know where it is that they can go to be reunited with their children. Again, in the coming days, we are going to make sure that we are supporting those that have been most impacted by this. But folks, reach out, ask for help. This does not need to be the reality of our community. Thank you.
All right, let's start over here with questions. Just raise your hands.
How did this unfold? Can you give us a bit of a timeline and how your officers got into the building?
Sure. We received the call at approximately 10:57 a.m. Someone from the school called 911 to report that there was an active shooter. That means something different to us, obviously. There's different protocols that go out, tone alerts even, so that even if officers are busy doing other things, they respond. One of the things that I do want to note is that our training center is about 3 miles from there. We have special event team medics. Those that work with the fire department responded to this particular scene from their training day. So what began as a training day became an actual day. And so that's how this call originally came in.
Nicholas, did you have a question?
What can you tell us, if anything, more about this shooter and what their motivations were, or have you made contact with their family members? Anything updated on that?
Sure. There's nothing new that I can tell you about the shooter at this time. Again, as difficult as today is, that's still someone's child that's gone. That's still someone that has to deal with what happened today. And so we want to make sure that we can ensure as much cooperation as we can. You asked me about why, as I stated before. I don't know why, and I felt like if we did know why, we could stop these things from happening. But what I will tell you is, as soon as we are done with the investigation, any information that we uncover that will not compromise the safety of anyone involved or compromise the confidentiality of any of these children that are involved, we'll tell you. I just ask for your patience.
All right, over there. Sorry. Go right ahead.
Chief, what kind of gun was used today?
We know it was a handgun. We know a handgun was recovered.
All right, sit down right there.
Was the shooting confined to one classroom or did it spread out?
We know it was confined to one space. I do not know if it was a classroom or a hallway. One of the things that we've gotten very good at, certainly different from in my day, is that if you do not need to be in a crime scene, you do not need to go to a crime scene. And so the crime scene and those persons who were involved, they have that crime scene locked down. I did not go or enter into that crime scene. But if you can imagine, most schools, the students go together, but they are segregated. So on each different floor, in each different group. And so there's no evidence that anyone else was injured that was not in the age group.
What can you say at this time about how school staff responded when the shooting
started? I cannot speak to how the school staff responded. We did have injuries, but it could have always, of course, had additional injuries. I do not know what the school's protocols are. Again, this is a private Christian school. I know that we have a very good rapport with MMSD, Madison Metropolitan Schools, public schools. So we have done trainings for them before, but I would assume that most of the teachers have the same or some similar type of training as a part of their certification.
There's some conflicting reports online about how many students are enrolled at the school. Can you confirm approximately how many students attend the school?
I do not know how many students attend the school, but their website says that they serve about 200 families.
Right in the back, white.
What kind of support systems are going to be made available to people who are affected by this?
That's a good question. As you heard from our mayor and our county exec, we have services within our government that will be made available to them. I have a lot of confidence that they're going to follow through on that, and we'll make sure that that persons who need to. Do you guys want to speak to that?
So, Dane County Human Services, as well as the Red Cross and other consolidated agencies, are already on scene. And we will continue to be on scene, and those resources will be bolstered again. Please reach out. You are not alone. We are going to navigate this together. And there are people who are affected by this trauma who are not in the reunification center or at the school. We need folks to be reaching out because we do have resources available.
It's not my knowledge that they had a school resource officer. That if they did, it would be a police officer, and I know where they all are, and they're not in the schools right now.
15 in the back there.
So in terms of witnesses that you mentioned about investigation, mm-hmm. What is that looking like? How many witnesses are you guys speaking with?
Sure. So the detectives will talk to anyone who may have seen this particular event unfold, anyone that may have been unfortunate to hear something. They will be talking to them. It's my understanding that that's in process now and everyone is cooperating fully. That will give us an idea of not only what unfolded, but it could answer the question to motivation, because again, the students who unfortunately had to witness this, but that's not something that we want to rush. We're not going to interrogate students. We're going to give them an opportunity to come in and speak to what they may have saw when they feel ready, which is why some of these questions can't be answered right now.
All right, Inspector, how do you reassure the community that it's still okay to go back to school? I mean, everybody's got kids, and I think, you know, maybe it happened in this school, but there's everybody that's got a kid anywhere, right? This in County, it's gonna be hard.
Yeah, I think you're asking me, how can I say 100% that no child will ever be harmed in school? I can't, no police chief can. But all I can tell you is that we have systems in place so that if something happens, we can respond like we did today. I can tell you that our mayor and our county exec has committed resources to not only public health, but also mental health. I can tell you that every teacher that I've ever had contact with at MMSD cares deeply about their students. every staff member. I talk to staff members all the time who tell me things that are going on in the schools and want to do whatever they can, even if it's under anonymity, to let me know that they want to have a safe school. So my reassurance to the public is that if you see something, say something. If you know someone who may be going through a difficult time, please reach out to someone. And I think what I can do is make sure that our police department is transparent and open and honest and inviting for people to call and give information. I think MMSD does an excellent job of that. And the same thing can be said for any other private school. If you want to give information or you need someone to talk to, I can promise you we'll have someone there to get that information.
Understanding that this is a private school you may not be as familiar with, what can you tell us about some of the physical measures that are in place in this school, whether it's metal detectors,
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never been in this school, unfortunately. I'm not aware that there were metal detectors in the school. That's something that we can certainly look at. Most schools have some form of surveillance or public space cameras, but that will be, of course, part of the investigation process.
Scott? Chief, can you clarify? You said seven were injured, but six were hospitalized. Does that mean one's been treated at least? And secondly, is the shooter's family cooperating with the investigation?
Yeah, so that's two questions, but let me try to handle the first one. So I'm trying to go back to my notes. So we do know that one person was pronounced at the scene. And so that may be the seventh person. But we can get you all that information. Just when we're done, I'll have my PIO give that to you so you can report it accurately. And what was your second question?
Is the shooter's family cooperating?
At this time, yes.
So you have made contact with the shooter's family?
We have.
And what were the steps taken to do that?
It's through the investigative process, okay?
Laura?
Yeah.
Is the shooter's home being searched? We've heard throughout some information that that is ongoing.
Yes, obviously, once we have identified, we have initiated a search, but we think that search is either ongoing now or that search may be concluded. Of course, it's about safety. That's the first thing, making sure that people are safe, and then we'll go from there. This has been an amazing day for everyone. And so if you have someone who is deceased, who may have been a shooter, you want to make sure that their family is okay. You don't know. And so that is what we're doing right now. It is about the safety of everyone. This is going to be a long day for the Madison Police Department. We just want some of your patience. Yes.
Have the school had any prior threats? And then just jumping off of that, do you know if the shooter had had any prior contact?
We do not know that the shooter had any prior contact with law enforcement, but I did do a check of the school. There were some calls, but they were like 911 hangups, things of that nature. There was nothing that suggested that the school was a place that violence would occur.
Chief, I know that you mentioned that the shooter died of a self-inflicted gun wound. Did that happen before officers arrived at the school or when the shooter saw officers coming into the school?
Yeah, so let me say that the cause and manner in which the shooter died will be determined by the inmate. But what I can tell you is the shooter was dead upon our arrival, police department arrival, and no officers fired their weapons. Okay?
Lucas, what are these search warrants you're executing? Or are they at the residence on like a device the shooter had?
I'm sorry.
The extent of the search warrant.
Yeah, so the extent of the search warrant is to be able to go in a place that we don't have permission to be in, and make sure that everyone is okay. And then if there's any evidence that we think we need to collect, we could only do that with the use of a search warrant. And so again, we have to determine if there is evidence that we will need. Everyone wants to know what led up to this. Are there any additional threats to public safety? Is this person or was this person by themselves? There are a lot of questions that we want to answer, but we have to answer the safety questions first. And then we'll move on to some of the more investigatory questions.
Are you in possession of any of the shooter's devices?
I am not, no.
I'm wondering about the metal detectors. You mentioned in the first meeting that you were not a fan, and that this school probably doesn't have them. And do you know other schools that do? Do you think that that's something we should start talking about, metal detectors in schools?
I guess the question is, would you want your child to go to a school with or without metal detectors?
I can't answer that.
I can't.
Right now, school without them.
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea is to create the safest environment that we can without metal detectors. That is my answer.
This was a shooting at a Christian school right before the Christmas holiday. Can you address the impact of that? And is the Christmas holiday at all, in your belief, related to as a motivation for the shooting?
Yeah, so to the question of motivation, we don't know why, but to the question of so close to Christmas, we have a lot of people going to be impacted. If it's a Christian school, then obviously our holidays, our Christian holidays, are very important to the students, very important. It's a time for family. Students probably getting ready to go out on break, and now the break will be a little less about celebrating Christmas than more about celebrating perhaps friends and loved ones and staff members who perhaps lost their life. That's why I'm asking everyone to, of course, keep Abundant Life Christian School in your thoughts and in your prayers, and we'll get a couple more, okay?
Okay, real quick, Phoebe.
So it's a private school that takes public money through the voucher system. So what has this revealed about maybe gaps in security or training for staff? Mm-hmm. Is that something you're thinking about whether schools that are private but take public money need to be,
Well, what I'm telling you is that in 1997, I began my professional career as a public school teacher. I taught history for 4 years before becoming a police officer. So I did not get far enough to take courses in administration and budgeting of schools. I don't know what governs private schools, if they receive money, where that comes from. That would probably be a question that you would probably need to ask someone who's more intimately involved in the school system and what their requirements are if they do receive that. But you could probably compare what has happened or what goes on, their security measures, with the security measures of any school in MMSD, and then that may give you your answer. That's a very...
Just one very quick follow-up.
Okay. Sure. We train on this, as I spoke about earlier. When officers arrive on the scene, they immediately go in, which we did in this case, stop the threat, stop the killing, find the killer. That's how we train, and that's exactly what we did today. There's no waiting. There's no coordination of who's in charge. Everyone knows exactly what to do. I spoke about this earlier. We train on this constantly. Our commanders, including the fire chief and I, was in a commander's training less than 2 weeks ago, going over this exact same scenario for another fictional location. And so all of that came into play today, and our officers performed extremely well based on their training and based on the expectations that they know exactly what to do. Stop the threat, stop the killing, find the threat.
Right. Can we just do one more? Hold on, right here.
Thank you. Hello. All. Hello. I think the questions have been asked, and we're straying a little far from what's most important at this point in time, and that is the victims and their families. I have three things to add. First of all, there is a lot that our community can and will do in the coming days to support the victims and their families. And we will have more information at future briefings. If anyone, and I would urge you all to include this in your stories, if anyone needs mental health support as a result of this incident and the coverage of it, I encourage them to reach out to 988 by phone or text and to get the mental health support that they need. It is incredibly important that we take care of our community in this very difficult time. We all have a role in preventing gun violence. Our entire community needs to be part of the solution here. There are many things that we can do, and we can have those conversations in coming days. But first and foremost, what needs to be the priority for all of us is supporting our young people. And that is where our community's attention needs to turn at this point in time. The police department, the fire department, the city, the county, will share additional information about the investigation as it becomes available. But I urge you all to help our community find resources to support their mental health and to find resources to support the victims and families at this time.
Where
thank you all.
It'll be at thecityofmassey.com. Me, Stephanie, and Cynthia will stick around and answer any other questions, folks. That's all.
Let me say before I go, because the mayor mentioned that this was a whole of government response. It certainly was, and there's so many people that we want to thank. We cannot thank everyone, but it's also a whole of law enforcement response. Even though we are in different agencies, we all have the same training. And so I want to thank our partners with the FBI who are here with me today, partners with the ATF, Dane County Emergency Management. Of course, we already talked about our fire department. We've got calls from the Attorney General of the United States, Wisconsin State Patrol, our governor's office, State Patrol, Monona, as well as our sheriff's office. I know I may have left someone out, but thank you for how you responded. Professionally, quickly, and according to the way that we all train, and it all came together to ensure that no other persons were hurt. Thank you.
Chief, can you just say what time you guys made entry?
Just want to nail
that.
10:57.
But that's
the call. Are you in 1 minute?
We'll work on getting that. So our next.
How long will it take to they arrive to the scene if we raise the back? They receive the call at 10:57.
Yeah, so I will work on getting that information for our next media briefing. We plan to meet here at 5:30 tonight, and I will work on getting that information.
Do you know how many search warrants were executed?
I don't have that information. I can see if detectives are able to share that number later.
Okay.